Hi, everyone. This is Pastor Raul. I want to take this time to invite you guys to Israel. You know, we go every 2 years to Israel, and it's been so awesome to see people that have gone in the past, to watch their transformation coming back home. So when you open the Bible and you read it, in your mind, you go back to those places that not only you walked, but places where God touched your life, especially when we went to the tomb. And I can remember people going into the tomb, coming out of the tomb in a complete different way. So we invite you to come with us to Israel, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. Again, we love you. Come to Israel.
Get together with Raul, Sharon, and Ryan Reese for a trip to the land of Israel, April 23rd through May 3rd, 2018. For more information, go to somebodylovesyou.com. That's somebodylovesyou.com. And click on the tab Israel 2018. Or call Inspired Travel at 714-957-8606. That's 714-957-8606.
Paul the Apostle says that we are not to be drunk with wine, but we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says that. Be you not drunk with wine, but be you filled with the Holy Spirit. God desires that our minds would be clear, not foggy, not unstable.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Today, as we continue our Best of 2017 series, we're glad you've joined us for a message about making practical choices that will honor the Lord. Drawing from the Word of God as well as from personal experience, Raul will offer some advice on how to be wise in the place you give alcohol in your life. The truth is that unrestrained drinking can lead to destruction, while following God's limits will actually lead to freedom. Let's join Raul Reese now as he begins today's lesson, The Problem with Drinking. We'll begin in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29.
Sometimes we think that God makes rules and regulations because He really doesn't want us to have fun. So we become upset, especially when you begin to study the Bible, and the Bible begins to deal with different subjects, important subjects and topics in the Bible that actually are good for each one of us to understand. I have seen not only that alcohol has ruined more marriages and families than I would hate to tell you, I've seen them by the hundreds. One of the things that I can share with you personally is that when I was a kid, I came from an alcoholic home. My father was an alcoholic. He had a great job, made a lot of money, but he had a problem with drinking every day. And the problem led to verbal and physical abuse in the home. I can remember at the age of 5 years old, you say, you can remember that far back? I can remember that far back. I can remember from age five all the way through in my teenage years where my dad used to take me with him to these bars where I was outside waiting for him to come out, as he would come out totally drunk and then go home and begin to fight with my mother and abuse her verbally and physically. And so I kind of grew up with this thing in my heart before I was a believer, hating alcoholics, not having to do anything with people that drink. And yet when God spoke to Solomon and Solomon spoke to his son, and my concern is that Solomon loved his son as we love you today, and that's why we're instructing you. We don't want any one of you to get messed up. We want you to open your eyes to the truth. He shares with us, he teaches us, he warns us, and then he says these are the consequences. You have to make a choice in life. I feel when you're young, you're naive and sometimes ignorant to the truth. When you get to be my age and you lived a little while, you begin to understand more things that my parents were trying to teach me that I did not understand and that I rebelled against. All they're trying to do is save your life. Listen to Solomon in Proverbs 23, 29 to 35, what he says. He says, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Notice, describing a person that has problems with drinking. Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent, and it stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one that lies down in the midst of the sea, or like the one that lies at the top of the mast, saying, they have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When I shall awake, that I may seek another drink. Immediately, as soon as he wakes up, he can hardly wait until he gets another drink. But he doesn't even remember what happened last night. And yet, when it comes to statistics, it's amazing that 20% of freezing deaths, he calls it, in our county are done because of alcohol, or 25% of choking accidents or deaths are related to alcohol, or 50% of deaths from falls are due to alcohol, or 52% of fire deaths are due to alcohol, or 60% of suicides are related to alcohol. 64% of murders are related to alcohol. 69% of drownings are connected to alcohol abuse. 76% of robberies and assaults are actually connected to alcohol. 60% of rapes are related to alcohol. And 80% of criminal activities and cases are involved with alcohol. All these things have to do with alcohol drinking. You see, the Bible exhorts us in the epistle of Ephesians. He tells us, Paul the Apostle says, that we are not to be drunk with wine, but we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says that. Be you not drunk with wine, but be you filled with the Holy Spirit. God desires that our minds would be clear, not foggy, not unstable. You see, this subject of alcohol is a very important subject because it brings a lot of controversy among people. And yet, the Bible, concerning the actual subject of alcohol, gives us many warnings because of what it's done to so many people. So the Bible's pretty clear when it talks about drinking and what it says about a person's life. I like what Fenton says. He said, some of the most dreadful mischief that afflict mankind proceed from wine. It is the cause of disease, quarrel, sedition, idleness, aversion to labor, and every species of domestic accord is because of drinking. It's not a small subject, but it's a major subject. And some people say, well, in the Bible, they drank. Yeah, they did. But it wasn't fermented wine. Let me read to you what kind of wine they drank. Because the Bible literally forbid the priest and the elders, and it forbid anyone that was serving the Lord to drink anything that was fermented. That's why Paul the Apostle, even to Timothy, when he has stomach problems, said, Timothy, if you're having stomach problems, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. But what did they do? They diluted the wine by putting 3 glasses of water into the wine to help your infirmity. He doesn't say, Timothy, be a social drinker. He's not saying that. He had a problem with his stomach. And so when you read historically the way they fermented the wine, you get the idea what God is saying in the scriptures. And it makes you wise. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts 2:13, when the Holy Spirit came down On the day of Pentecost, what happened? The people that were non-believers, it was 10 o'clock in the morning, and what did they say when they got baptized with the Holy Spirit? They said, these men are actually drinking new wine. They're drunk. And Peter stood up and said, hey, these men are not drunk. These men are filled with the Holy Spirit. God has baptized them. God has touched their lives completely. The primary word used for wine in the New Testament is used 36 times. The problem is that this primary word is used for all stages of wine. That is, from the grape itself to the most fermented stage. When you read in the Greek language or in the Hebrew, you have to look up the word. Because of loose interpretation, some have used this ambiguity to take some positive passages about wine to justify the usage of wine in our own day so they can get drunk. You see, well, Jesus drank wine. Really? What kind of wine did he drink? Gallo? No, I'm just kidding you. What kind of wine did he drink? You see? And yet, in ancient times, fermentation began immediately within a 24-hour period with a side of foam appearing on the grapes placed on the wine vats. Then, according to Jewish tradition, it tells us that it is available immediately for the wine tithe, which is spoken of in the Old Testament, after a week. Certain violent procedures that have been going on will subside. The wine is usually transferred into jars or wineskins at that stage. And at that point, it is called, according to the Hebrew, new wine. Up to 40 days, this wine was suitable for use as the drink offering in the Old Testament days. After that, the wine was deteriorating so rapidly that the Jews thought it was unacceptable for religious purposes. The longest wines were ever kept in ancient time was 3 years. Then all of it was destroyed and poured out. The term old wine seems to refer to that which is at least 1 year old. The wine that is served at Passover was always, listen, mixed with three parts of water to make sure it was not an alcoholic beverage. And usually they would drink what? Grape juice. So they didn't drink wine. You can get a book in the library and read it. I think it's of importance that we understand what the Bible teaches so that we don't get ensnared in the sin of drunkenness. Why? Because according to the scripture, in the book of Galatians, in the book of Ephesians, in the book of Revelation, in the book of Corinthians, he says what? That no drunkard will ever inherit the kingdom of God. No drunkard. If you have to have it, it is a problem. What are some of the evil effects of drinking? Let me give you seven of them that I found in the Bible. Number one, drinking leads you to violence. Proverbs 4:17 says, for they eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. People become very aggressive when they drink. Secondly, drinking mocks a man. Proverbs 21 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise but is stupid. Notice what he says. Thirdly, wine or drinking makes a person poor. It keeps you from working eventually. Proverbs 23:20-21 says, do not mix with winebibbers or with glutton eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Notice Solomon warning his son. Fourthly, drinking bites like a serpent. Proverbs 23:31-33 says, do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At last it bites like a serpent, it stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. And then fifthly, drinking impairs your judgment. Proverbs 31:4-5 says, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for leaders intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law of God and pervert justice of all that are afflicted. He's actually speaking to the priest and to the king and to those in authority. If you drink, you're going to have a false judgment when it comes to dealing with people, because your senses are not all there. Six, drinking inflames the passions. In Isaiah 5:11, he says this: woe to those who rise up early in the morning that they may follow intoxicating drink, who continue into the night until wine inflames them and their passions. Think about that. And then seventh, drinking takes away the heart. Hosea 4:11 says, harlotry, wine, and new wine enslaves the heart. You become a slave to drinking. You become a slave to those things that God has warned you about. Wine in the Bible is often connected with immorality. Alcoholic beverages are dangerous because they begin to control your heart, your attitudes, your thinking processes, whether you like it or not. I like what Habakkuk says in Habakkuk 2:15. He says, woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor. This is a warning. If you are introducing people to drinking and you're giving your neighbor or whoever it may be, you're buying for them drink, this is what God says. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look to his nakedness. That's a heavy scripture. You give to drink to seduce that person and to see their nakedness. Woe unto that person. You see, alcoholic beverages are obviously dangerous in terms of what? Carousing and drunkenness and violence. It makes a person lose all judgment. And yet, God wants us to be looking for his coming. Why? Because when you're living one day at a time as if the Lord is going to come, it will keep you from these evils. It will keep you from these things. They will destroy you. In Luke 21:34, he says, but take heed to yourself, lest your heart be weighted down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, as that day would come on you unexpectedly. When you're caught up with partying and drinking and drugs and all these things, you're not really looking for the coming of the Lord. And the Lord may come today. And how is he going to find you? And what is he going to find you doing? Because when it comes, it's going to come like a flood. You see? It's going to come like a flood. We need to be ready to meet the Lord. Now, who are these people in the Bible that literally did not drink? Well, first of all, they tell us the priest was one of them. According to Leviticus 10:9, listen, do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout all of your generations. God says, if you're a priest and you drink and you go into the tabernacle, God would smite you dead. He would kill you. This is why in Leviticus chapter 10, when Abihu and his brother, Aaron's sons, remember when they got a little bit tipsy and they went into the tabernacle and started offering sacrifice, and what did God do? God killed them both immediately. You can read the story. And he gives you a warning that if you're a priest, you're not to drink anything. Secondly, the Nazarites. Samson was a Nazarite. Listen, in Numbers 6:3, he shall separate himself from wine and similar drink. He shall drink neither vinegar made with wine, nor vinegar made from similar drink. Neither shall he drink any grape juice, nor eat any fresh grapes or raisins. He was to be totally consecrated, separated to his God. Thirdly, the prophets were not to drink wine. Here is an illustration of the prophets and the priests and the kings at the time of Isaiah. They were getting drunk and could not make right judgment. This is what God says. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is fading flower, which is at the head of the verdant valleys. To those who are overcome with wine, but they also have erred from wine or through wine. And through intoxicating drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They are out of the way through intoxicating drink. They err in vision and they stumble also in judgment. Notice that. And God brought his judgment upon these men because of what they did. Fourthly, the kings and the princes could not drink. Proverbs 31:4-5 says, it is not for kings, O Lamuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law of God and pervert justice in all afflicted. In the New Testament, the elders and the bishops were not to drink wine. 1 Timothy 3:2 and 3. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, nor violent, nor greedy for money, but gentle and not quarrelsome and not covetous. And then Titus 1:7. For a bishop must be blameless, a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, and not greedy for money. And then again for deacons in 1 Timothy 3:8. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, and not given to wine, and not greedy for money. So what the Bible is sharing with us is that we have a freedom to do whatever we want to do. But I like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, whether in word, in deed, in food, in drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And this is the question that I ask myself every day. How is this thing that I'm going to do going to bring glory and honor to the Lord? And then I have a better conscience. Hey, if it's going to please the Lord, then go for it 100%. But if it's not pleasing to the Lord and is going to hurt you, your relationship with Jesus Christ, then you know what? I will not eat meat, Paul said, or do anything that will stumble my relationship with God and with men.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese, and we hope you've been challenged today to avoid compromise as you honor the Lord in your approach to drinking. Today's message is titled, The Problem with Drinking. You can review it once again at somebodylovesyouradio.com, or to get a personal unedited copy, just send a gift of any amount when you call 800-634-9165. Now, to further equip you in a life that pleases the Lord, we'd like to offer you Rawls' all-new Best of 2017 MP3 series. It's a collection of 12 messages that features today's lesson as well as several others that will explore a range of ways you can make choices that follow the Bible's instructions for an abundant, holy life. Act now for spiritual insights that will guide you in everything from nurturing your marriage to becoming a strong end-time witness for Christ. To place your order for Rawls' Best of 2017 MP3 series, visit SomebodyLovesYouRadio.com or call 800-634-9165. And we'll send you this 12-message compilation for a gift of $7.95 plus shipping and handling. The phone number again is 800-634-9165. This resource is also available when you write us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. To get even more biblical instruction to keep your heart and mind focused on the Lord, be sure to take advantage of our podcasts, including today's lesson. All of Rawls' teachings are now available to download through iTunes or Google Play, and you can stream these broadcasts on all Alexa-powered devices. Every dollar given to Somebody Loves You Radio is used to win the lost, build up believers, and bring strength to the local church. These tax-deductible gifts are the only means of support we have, so we greatly appreciate your partnership in this ongoing ministry. Coming up on the next Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll continue with more from this Best of 2017 series. You'll be challenged to get your year off to a strong start with a renewed commitment to spend time daily in God's Word. Now, to wrap up today's message, here's Raul.
May God give us insight to be obedient to the Word of God. And secondly, to be filled constantly with the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. That's what God desires within each one of us. And then walking by the Holy Spirit and then abiding in Jesus Christ, as he said this, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." And here's the key: "For without me, you can do nothing." We need Jesus Christ. If we're going to be successful, if we're going to be in heaven, we need Jesus every day of our lives.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.